All right, welcome back in. 1 o'clock hour here of the Connor Happer Show. 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. If you missed anything so far, you can check it out on the radio replay page at 1620thezone.com. I would implore you to do so. X is definitely going to give it to you. All right. Parker Gabriel is still going to join the show here in just a little bit, and then we'll get you out of here. If you guys have anything for us, love to hear it. 402-951-1620, Connor at 1620thezone.com, the Equitable Bank inbox, Twitter, at Connor Happer, the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. But a little bit of news in the last hour, or potential news, I should say, in the last hour. This comes from Scott Docterman of The Athletic. Big Ten discussing potential elimination of divisions as part of future football scheduling plans. This all comes back to, really, it comes back to the college football playoff. The future college football playoff format could have a major impact on whether the Big Ten eliminates divisions or changes the number of its annual conference games, Iowa AD Gary Barta told The Athletic. The Big Ten currently has East and West divisions and plays a 9-game conference schedule that includes 3 cross-divisional games. As you know, Big Ten administrators have discussed dropping to 8 games beginning in 2023 so it can create matchups with teams from the Pac-12 and ACC, which the trio has a working arrangement called, remember, people forget, the Alliance. Yeah. Yes, the Alliance is back. Woo! Very excited. So the Big Ten wants to accommodate that a little bit more. While at the same time dropping to 8 games. A few years ago, the Big Ten went to 9. I believe the Pac-12 followed, or maybe the Big Ten still kind of stands on its own island on this. But Jim Delaney did this with the idea of, like, well, you put an extra Big Ten game in there and it'll enhance our strength of schedule and enhance our ability to make the college football playoff. What happened next was nobody followed, including the SEC, and the SEC was able to continue to have easier paths to undefeated, or their teams were able to have easier paths to undefeated seasons. They only play 8 conference games, minimizing wear and tear, that whole jazz, and still, of course, sell TV rights, which they, of course, I've had no problem doing since. This has really worked against the Big Ten Conference in a lot of different ways. So in an effort to, I mean, we're looking forward to the next version of the playoff for sure. But also in this new kind of alliance thing, there's also serious discussions about the Big Ten ending divisional play with schools playing 3 opponents annually and cycling through the other 10 teams either every other year or 2 years on, 2 years off. Barta said, quote, we've had several conversations. One of the things that we're watching is whether it's related to the alliance, which we're talking through, and or what gives us the best opportunity to have the most success in the college football playoff format. We're wondering if we don't know what the format is before we have to make that decision, so we're kind of waiting to see where that lands, but we have had active conversations about the schedule beyond 2022. This has been a conversation around the Big Ten for the last couple of years. I personally enjoy it. Look at the imbalance of the West-East. And then there's going to be a team that just, I mean, the way it's been for the West over the last few years is there's going to be a team that kind of gets screwed by its in-conference schedule. And there's also going to be a team that probably gets away with some things. So if you're a Big Ten West team and you're trying to make your run at the college football playoff, you have to have a lot of different things line up for you. You are adding variables, right? So let's use Iowa as an example because they feel like the team that's most likely to do this. They have done it before. 2015, Iowa is a good example of this. You have to have some boxes checked on your own end too. Do we have a team that can go on a run? Do we have an experienced team with an experienced quarterback Do we have a few playmakers that can really change games? You know, do we not have all these deficiencies? You have to check all those boxes first. Basically, do we have a good team? You know, do we have a team that's capable of doing something like this? And then past that, there are some things that are out of your control, like what the Big Ten has given you in terms of schedule. And in the West, you're going to be at mercy of what you get from the East. If you get three crossover games, which you do every year, if those games are Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, which I don't think anybody's had to face that exact gauntlet quite yet. Maybe Nebraska's on path for it at some point. But you're going to be in trouble. You're not going, you're pretty much guaranteed at least one conference loss out of that. Maybe you do run through your division. Maybe you are a top 25 team. But the chances of you beating all three of those programs, it's not very good. Ohio State's a different animal. Look at what Nebraska over the last six seasons, their permanent rival from the East, they haven't branded it this way. Remember when it was Legends Leaders? And you know, you had your permanent crossover and Nebraska's was Penn State. And they kind of made a thing out of that. Now they do it in shifts, so they go 6 years at a time, and that's when the schedules kind of come out. So Nebraska for the last six seasons, and the 2021 being the last of these six seasons, they've played Ohio State every time. That's what the Big Ten gave them. Now, Nebraska didn't hold up their end of the bargain, that's for sure. They should have been better over that period of time. But best case scenario, maybe Nebraska gets, you know, if Nebraska is holding up their end of the bargain, maybe they get one or two out of those six. They lost all six times. It becomes a little bit more favorable for Nebraska the way it's set up in the next six, which is Michigan. I think it's a better rival for Nebraska. And certainly a more reasonable opponent.
New poll alert.
New poll alert.
What, at Josh? Show.
How we doing, gang?
Yeah.
At Happer
That'll
Show.
That'll wake you up.
It'll get you going.
I was
in the
like,
morning.
Did I say anything that cool?
Big Ten football getting rid of divisions. Good idea or bad idea?
I would vote good idea.
I would also vote good idea.
So we've seen formats like this, you know, the ideas of formats like this pushed out there before. I personally like it. And really, it plays itself out this way or close to this way anyway. So the idea is each team in the Big Ten gets three teams that they play every year. And by the way, I think you need that. I don't think you want a rotating conference schedule every single year. Because it creates some, like, you want to have rivals, right? And road trips for your fans. The teams that you are most familiar with and you judge yourself against every single year. If the math can work out right, you know, everybody should get most of what they want. I think Nebraska's should be Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. There's budding rivalries there. I mean, there's a full-blown one with Iowa. Minnesota's becoming that.
Yeah, PJ Fleck, number five on my enemies list.
See?
Updated as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
At producer_Josh.
Wait till Fleck does. Just say one more thing, PJ. Say one more thing. Say elite one more time.
My wife.
Josh is coming after you.
Was unfamiliar with PJ Fleck. So she gave him a Google as I shared the list with her.
Uh-huh.
Because she's interested in my day-to-day, which is very sweet of her. And she took one look at him and goes, oh, okay, no, I get why this man would anger you.
Oh, no, it gets worse when he talks.
Yeah, his whole get down is bad, honey.
Good coach, but
effective, yes.
Yep. But yeah. And so it makes sense. And it also makes a lot of sense why him and Scott Frost wouldn't be...
Oh,
they wouldn't get along very well.
Yeah.
And they don't. They don't. So the idea is you get three teams that you play every year, and then you rotate with the rest of the conference. I love it. I love it personally. How does it help you get into the college football playoff, you're asking? Well, you get to play your rivals, and you're not at mercy of the schedule exactly, completely, right? There's still a chance that you're going to get Ohio State in there. But it's not every year for 6 years if you are not, if you're a team like Nebraska, if you're in the Big Ten West. You also, Nebraska's had this thing where they haven't seen Michigan now up until last year since, 2013? They had Indiana come to their stadium for the first time in 2019. Nebraska had been in the league for 8 years at that point. So you rotate through and you get a home and away. I guess you would get a home and away with every Big Ten school at least once every 4 years, I guess that would be, doing the math correctly. So that's cool too. And it creates a better environment, I think, for the Big Ten. More notably, if you're doing this across the alliance, the biggest change here is, yes, obviously the elimination of divisions is optically a pretty big change. However, the biggest power shift here is the Big Ten moving from 9 to 8 games. I thought it would take quite a bit for the conference to come off of that, and now it feels like they kind of see this as an opportunity to move it in that direction. It's a good thing for the league, especially as it pertains to the college football playoff. It is a good thing. Get this tweet in from Tom, who tweets at Happer Show. Why is it that the Big Ten news always comes from ADs like Barta? Seems like Barry Alvarez was always the source. Well, like I said, Barta, one of the longer-standing ADs, if not now the longest-standing AD in the league at this point. So sort of the elder statesman. But also, as a high involvement with the college football playoff, he was the CFP committee chair, I believe, for the last two seasons. But yeah, Barry Alvarez still a power broker in the conference if he wants to be. Big picture, definitely could be involved in the big picture sense. That much is for sure. I'm a little surprised that the Big Ten would, kind of go back and change that a little bit. Scott Docterman also points out that the league's media rights agreements expire after the 2022 season, and schedule makers already need to alter locations for 6 games, as they did for this past season. Nebraska included in 2 of those, with the Purdue and Wisconsin games. It's the perfect time to evaluate whether there's more value in the 9th league game or a non-conference bout with an ACC or Pac-12 school. And that was the most, when we first learned about the alliance, rather than what it seems like is actually going to happen in reality, is they're just going to agree on things for power purposes, for voting purposes, for that. The most intriguing thing about it as we watch football is the idea that they could go through a rotation of playing these teams every year in the non-conference. And by the way, not every team's like Nebraska where they can go out and, pick an SEC opponent or, pick whoever on the West Coast because they have fan bases and alumni everywhere where they can get a home and home with, and they would accept it because who wouldn't want to play at Nebraska for a game. It's viewed as still a destination spot where fans could go and all that.
Purdue ain't moving the needle.
Exactly.
To schedule anyway. It's not getting, if you schedule Purdue, it's not getting you more ticket sales. If you're going to Purdue, it doesn't, we got to go to West Lafayette.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So Purdue's had to play, just straight road games before. They don't get the return trip. In this case, they would. With a Power 5 school out of the ACC or Pac-12. That's a big deal for schools like that, for schools at the bottom of the barrel, the big, not many people, maybe it's been a little bit more attractive recently, but hey, let's do a home-and-home with Northwestern. Purdue is the best example of it, though.
Their non-con this fall is versus Indiana State at Syracuse versus FAU.
That's Purdue?
Yeah.
Yep. Not much going on there.
No, there's really not.
There's also urgency among the league programs to finalize the structure so they can reach agreements with other non-conference schools to fill out future schedules. Quote from Barta, because we all schedule out so far, we want to have certainty as soon as we can on 2023 and beyond. So, really, really interesting. And then, I guess, there's this piece of it too. Like I said, it's really important for the Illinois and Purdue's of the world to get an automatic, if this is the way it goes, an automatic non-conference game with an ACC or a Pac-12 school. This is from Doctorman now, it's kind of interesting. Among the conversations include whether it makes sense to cycle through Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Rutgers, Iowa, Michigan State more frequently, or would all Alliance games bring more interest and perhaps more importantly, more eyeballs? Personally, I would prefer that. The more eyeballs thing, these East-West crossover games, they haven't felt that special, that much is for sure, especially when there's such a different power dynamic. Now, you do get the Nebraska-Ohio State, which is obviously going to draw a lot of eyeballs. But I think the more unique ones is something that would be more exciting for the individual fan bases. So Nebraska gets an ACC or Pac-12 opponent every year. So that means, once every, 5 or 10 years or something like that, you're probably going to make a trip out to the West Coast. That's a good thing. And that's outside of your big non-conference schedule. It would change non-conference scheduling as well. Maybe a school like Nebraska would be more likely to just do 3 gimmies. And then see what would happen in the quote-unquote Alliance game. So there's some stuff on the table there that's pretty interesting for the Big Ten going forward. I'd be curious to get your guys' thoughts on that at 402-951-1620. Connor at 1620thezone.com. You can tweet at Happer Show or at Connor Happer. Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal Star, is going to join us here in just a couple minutes. Quickly, Creighton goes to Butler tonight. We'll mention them. Like I have been saying, they have kind of just taken care of business over the last two, although in completely different manners. Thrashed St. John's with a great shooting night. Couldn't get really anything done against DePaul on offense, but toughed it out, hit a run late, and found a way. And now you go to Butler tonight, and that's not a very good team, but it's also never an easy place to play. Never a walk in the park. So it would be another, I don't know about a feather in the cap. That seems a little bit strong, I suppose, to go on the road and beat Butler tonight. But it's almost like for an NCAA, bubble or bubble plus type of team, which I think Creighton probably looks like right now, you don't want to lose this one. These are the type of ones that could send you on the other side.
on paper, oh, you lost to Butler. That's fine. Not this year. This ain't that Butler team.
Yeah.
Don't lose tonight.
Don't lose tonight. Start off 5-2, and then you head into a difficult stretch with Xavier, UConn, and Seton Hall being the next three. Pink out on Saturday against Xavier. It's always a fun one. All right. We'll take a quick break. Parker Gabriel is coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll be back more up next in the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.